called He Will Be Called, and that video, of course, was a great visual display of the verse that we have been keying off of throughout this series, and that is in Isaiah 9:6. And if you've got your Bibles, I want to read it one more time, and it'll also be up here on the screen. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And we've been taking these names of Jesus and preaching on them throughout the course of these last several weeks. And first week we covered Wonderful Counselor. Last week Garth talked about Mighty God. This week I want to talk to you about Everlasting Father. Then on Christmas Eve service we'll bring in this Prince of Peace and look at that name in particular. So one of the things that we've done throughout the series is look at what these words mean in the Hebrew. And so with Everlasting God, I want to take these two words. It's actually two very short words in the Hebrew. The first one is Ad, which is not odd. It's actually just pronounced that way. So Everlasting, A-D, and it means perpetuity, forever, continuing future. So almost exactly what you would think it would mean with this word everlasting. And then Father, in a similar way, is Ab, and that word means the father of an individual. So it's something I think that most of us would say, well, yeah, I could have told you that just by reading the English words. But add some depth to these two terms. And I think as well, this word father in particular, the father of an individual, in a very intentional way, I believe that God is introducing a term, his name to us, in very human terms. And so there's something very powerful about this, because everlasting father are two terms that we would associate with God. It's God the Father. Jesus even referred to him as his heavenly father. And yet, they're giving this name to Jesus, to the child who will be born. And so he is the everlasting father. And there's something here that's very interesting. In one sense, we have to recognize that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity. At the same time, God is giving us his name in very human terms, I believe, to connect us with, and Jesus, I believe, as a human being, connects us with this very kind of human understanding of this word Father and what the role of a father is in all of our lives. And so there's two very interesting things going on with the connection between these words. Now, another thing is that for all of us, we know from our earthly fathers that there is a very limitedness to what our earthly fathers bring to all of our lives. For one, some of you have had your fathers pass. You've lost your father. For others of you, you never knew your father, or you had an absent father. And others of you would say, well, I had a father, but he really was no good. He failed me in so many ways. And then I think that there are many of us, and thankfully there are many of us, I believe, in this room, who are grateful for our fathers. And so there's a lot of different ways that when we hear this term, when we hear God saying, hey, I want to be called Everlasting Father, this is who I'm revealing myself to be, that there's a lot of different varied ways that we would respond to that. And whether you've had an excellent father or a terrible father or an absent father, your reaction is going to be dependent primarily on that experience. And so, you know, a father is closely associated with, I think, three main things. I think there's three main things that every father you would hope would provide for his children. And that would be that he would be a protector, that he would be a provider, and that he would be an affirmer. I think we can maybe add some things to that list, but I certainly wouldn't take away any of these things. That he is, a father is a protector, he is a provider, and he is an affirmer. And here's what's cool about this term, everlasting father, that no matter how finite, whether or not you have a father in your life now, no matter how excellent or good or how horrible and terrible your father was, we have an everlasting father. And so all those limits, all those failings of our father, the finiteness of our earthly fathers, we have an everlasting father who will protect us, who will provide for us and who will affirm us throughout the course of life. And I want to talk about how our Heavenly Father provides those things for us, that provision, that protection, that affirmation in all of our lives. And so we have a Father who is not limited. We have a Father who is infinite and everlasting, who is perfect in every way. And that's one of the powerful thoughts that come through us just through this name of Jesus, Everlasting Father. And so I want to talk to you about these three things in particular, that God is our Father protector, our Father protector. And there is this conundrum that I face as a father. I know that many of you as well, for those of you who are fathers out there, you face this as well, that you want to be a comforter, and you want to be a protector in the life of your children or your child, but at the same time, you are given this sacred duty, and I would say it's sacred as fathers, to toughen your kids up a little bit, right? I mean, you are the one who is going to toughen them up, who's going to shape them or prepare them for all the shots that life will take at them. And you know how hard life is because you have lived it, right? And you have given this commission, it's a sacred commission, to toughen your children up and to help them develop responsibility, to help them learn the hard knocks of life. And so I've got to prepare my kids for life, I have to prepare them for reality, and at the same time, I have a tremendous amount of compassion and love, and I desire to protect my kids from anything and everything that would hurt them. But they are going to face broken hearts, broken bones, bruises and bleeding, both physical and emotion, and it's just the reality of life. And so how do you, and this is the conundrum for fathers, how do you walk this line of preparing your children for physical toughness and emotional toughness, and at the same time protecting them from the damage that those things can do to them? It's the conundrum. That's very difficult. Now, fortunately, at least for me, I have a wife who sees eye to eye with me on this particular issue, on developing toughness, right, and a tough mental mentality and all those kinds of things. And so whenever our kids, throughout the process of growing up, got scraped knees or twisted ankles, and there have been many of them along the way, we take on this responsibility, say, hey, hop up, be tough, you know, dust it off, you're going to be okay, right? That's our response typically in those kinds of situations. And I can remember actually, and it's funny because my two oldest kids are here, but it was my two oldest kids, it's about a decade or so ago, maybe longer, 12 years maybe, and I was with Josiah and Addie, I was with them at the park, and Josiah probably doesn't even remember this, hopefully he doesn't remember this. It wasn't very pleasant for him. But he was running from the monkey bars, the area was at Green Lake there, and there's a big play structure there. He was running from the play structure to try to get to the sand pit, and there's all these tractors and things like that that the kids can play with. And one of the tractors was vacated, and he was sprinting to be able to get into that seat on the tractor. And as he's doing so, he was going over the sidewalk, and I remember hitting his foot on the lip of the sidewalk and just diving, you know, like Superman, and landing on, you know, hands and knees and sliding. And of course, you know what that does to your hands and feet. Not very pleasant experience. And then to make matters worse, top it off, he slides right into the metal bench that's there and just hits his head, you know, and probably concussion symptoms or something. But I quickly ran over to him, you know, and you're just like, oh, that's going to hurt, you know, and grabbed him, just hop up, you know, dust it off, blow it off, you're going to be okay, and his tears coming down his cheeks, and I remember looking over at this woman, and I could tell that she was like, what on earth are you doing? Like, that child belongs in the ER. He needs to go through concussion protocol, you know, I mean, this is serious business. And I remember thinking, she's probably wondering where his mom is right now. She's probably wondering, like, where is the reasonable parent in this situation? What is this guy trying to do, right? And of course, I had a different parenting philosophy than her, or at least a different threshold of what toughness meant, you know, and what I would allow them to experience and to develop this sense of toughness, to cultivate, right, that tough mentality in their lives. And, you know, I think we can all agree that it's a good thing. A little toughness is a good thing. And our thresholds, again, are different. You know, what we're willing to allow them to endure is maybe a little bit different. But I think all of us, as parents in general, you know, we want our kids to be tough. We want to prepare them for life in that way. And so there's this tightrope that we walk as fathers. And, you know, I love this passage from Psalm 46, verse 1. I think it really captures the essence of what our father protector is in our lives. It says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of need. Now, depending on what your definition of a very present help in time of need is, you would say, I either failed my son or I was there for him, right? But it all depends on what is needed in that particular situation, which really brings some meaning and some depth to what our protector is all about and what he is trying to do. And I think that a lot of times for you and I, we look at these great stories, and they're found throughout the scriptures, of God's supernatural protection. And we just wish that God would always and every time would be just like that. You know, think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're in the fiery furnace. They've stood up for what is right. They've produced this incredible courage under fire, and yet, literally under fire, and yet they're thrown into the fiery furnace, but God was there. God protected them. It was this supernatural event. In fact, God's presence was there. The angel of the Lord was there with them. There were not three men in this fiery furnace. There were four, right? And everybody saw that. They recognized the presence of God with them. We see God protecting the nation of Israel throughout the scriptures, whether it's splitting the Red Sea or defending them in many battles that they were in. And we see God's provision. We see his protection over their lives. We see it all the time. And yet at the same time, there's a reality to face that there are other passages in Scripture. Think Elijah and some of the prophets. Think David and some of his times of need. Think of Jesus, who was there in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, I pray that this cup would pass, but God had a different plan. Every single one of the disciples was martyred for their faith. God had come through for them time and time and time again. But God has a plan. God has a purpose. God sees things from the perspective of eternity. It's not a momentary perspective. It's not a limited and infinite perspective. And I think a lot of times you and I, we see one move ahead, maybe two, and we're trying to understand and filter everything that we experience in our lives through that limited scope of understanding what the big story is. But God, his perspective is higher. He has a different perspective. I like to say it this way. We're playing checkers. And checkers is a game where you're playing one or two moves ahead. God is playing chess. He's a chess master. He's moving the pieces in ways that we don't even understand. Sometimes he's sacrificing his rook in order to get a checkmate, right? He's doing certain things in certain ways because he has a plan and he has a purpose, and we don't yet understand. We don't yet see it. The veil has not yet been lifted. And man, it is so hard sometimes to experience what you and I experience and to believe and to trust that God is in control. Sometimes it's impossible to believe that and to hope for that. And yet, at the same time, that is what God has called us to do. And so many times you hear, you know, I always mention this, and people make fun of me for mentioning Russell Wilson. One more time. He always talks about the pain is in the preparation, right? And there's pain to that, right? And yet it prepares you for the game, right? It prepares you for the war. And sometimes we experience pain as preparation for what God has for us in our future. If you're experiencing pain now, if you're going through a hard time now, God is cultivating toughness in you. He's developing and preparing you for what he has in store for you in the future, so that when you meet that day, you can walk through it with confidence. And so this is God. He is our protector. He walks this tightrope of preparing us for the future, and at the same time, protecting us and preserving us from things that are unnecessary for us to experience. He is also our provider. He is our father provider. And provision is also tricky. Provision is tricky because on one end, you don't want to raise spoiled, rotten, entitled children. And then on the other end, you want to provide everything that they need for life. You want to enable them to have everything that they need to be successful. And sometimes, you know, I feel the weight of this, just knowing we are limited in our resources and limited with what we are going to be able to give to our children and provide for our children. We do the best that we can. And I believe that God is looking out for us and equipping us with everything that we need to help our children. And yet at the same time, you know, there's some things they need and there's some things that they want, and you're discerning the difference between those two things, and you're helping them to understand that not everything in life that they feel as though they need or they want, that they should be given. I love this passage in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus is telling us how to interact with our Father and how to see Him in the sense of being a provider in our lives. He says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone?" I mean, every father wants good things for his children. That's the nature of being a father. "Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake." Our kids don't ask typically for bread and fish these days. They more ask for electronics, but nevertheless. "If you then, though you are evil," love how he kind of gets that jab in, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And this is just a sense of expectation. You serve a father. You live in relationship with a father. He wants good things for you. He wants you to enjoy good things in life. That goes without saying, God says. But there's other passages of Scripture that speak of this sense in which we must always be looking to Him as the one who has provided us with everything that we need. Think when Jesus teaches His disciples to pray, He teaches them to pray for their daily bread. Pray for everything that you need. And one of the lessons that we learn from that is that whether we're wealthy or poor, that everything that we have been given comes from God. And one key to keeping ourselves from becoming those spoiled, rotten children or becoming entitled is to always recognize where everything that we have comes from. And to always be looking into the future for Him to provide it and not put the pressure on ourselves to be the ones who perform in order to receive all the things that we have. We do have a role, we do have a responsibility in that, and yet at the same time, if we fail to see the things that we've been given in life as a gift, if we fail to see even the opportunities we've been given in life as a gift, we will lose some of the joy. We will lose some of that sense of contentment, and I think we will lose out on this incredible relationship that God is inviting us into of father and children. I saw this video on Facebook this last week. Actually, my wife showed it to me, and I think it really captures this idea very well. So would you roll this? Yeah, it was good. I really think that the key to understanding God's amazing provision in our lives is just this idea of contentment. Everything that we enjoy is all obviously wrapped up in a gift for us, and we could just acknowledge, oh, wow, this is from God. And yet at the same time, if we live with that sense of appreciation, if we live, and I love this, when Jesus, He teaches us to ask for our daily bread, what He's essentially saying is always remember that you are dependent. And if you can come to this place where you recognize, hey, I am dependent, and I am in need of a Heavenly Father to be a provider for me, it creates this appreciation for the things that we have in life. And that's what I love that video really depicts, is just the joy of turning a light switch off and on, and the joy of clean water, and the joy of these people that God has placed in your life. And if everything is a gift, man, there's cause for joy, right? There's cause to really enjoy it and to love it and appreciate it all the more. And having that kind of an attitude of saying, God, this is a gift from you, and I'm not going to count on anything into the future except for that which He will give me, and being the kind of people who always look to Him and ask Him for those things, I think is a key for us maintaining that sense of really cherishing life and receiving it as the gift that it is. And so God is our provider. Everything that we have comes from Him as well. He is our Father affirmer. He is an affirmer in our lives. I think that all of us have longed for the affirming voice of a father to speak into our lives, to tell us that He is proud of us, to tell us that we are strong enough or capable enough. It's the voice of a father that brings about a sense of our true identity. Right? It gives us the confidence to go out and to find the success that we know we are capable of finding and achieving. And you know, Jesus on multiple occasions is affirmed by His Father. One that I mentioned several weeks ago is at the moment of His baptism, he's baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin. And He comes up out of the water, and the verse says, the scriptures say, that a voice from heaven speaks in that moment and says, "This is my son, whom I love, and in him I am well pleased." And I love that moment because for me, when I think of Jesus, I think of somebody who had innately everything that he needed already. And yet, here in this moment, God's voice speaks to affirm him and give him confidence. And I believe it was for him. I don't believe it was just for all the disciples to hear this voice from heaven and say, "Well, I better listen to him," or "I better follow him." I believe that at least in part, it was for Jesus. Because Jesus was about to go from that baptism to begin his ministry and all the miracles and all the things he would accomplish and go to the cross. But he had to go through the wilderness first. And a lot of theologians say it was this temptation, this showdown in the wilderness between Jesus and Satan that really secured his victory on the cross. And so this was his first step on that journey. And he's in the wilderness. He's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And at the end of that, Satan comes to him and tempts him in a very fierce way. And Jesus withstands that temptation. He stands strong in that moment. And I believe that it was that voice of the Father affirming him, saying, "You are my son. I have called you to this. I have prepared you for this. I love you. You have everything that you need in me." And Jesus was able to withstand that temptation and to find the strength to be successful in the mission that God had called him to. I was thinking back on a day that was like that for me in my journey through life. And the day I'm thinking of and the moment I'm thinking of, it happened on my wedding day. And I've got this picture of me and my wedding day. And nobody can laugh, okay? This is a very vulnerable picture to share with all of you. First of all, it's nice in the sense I'm 20 years younger, but I look like a little kid. What I love about this is it really captures a memory for me. And one of the most powerful memories when it comes to my own dad's affirmation in my life. And I remember this moment that we shared, and I actually can't remember if it was before or after this photo, but my dad came to me on that day, my wedding day, and he just spoke these words of life to me. He said, "I'm so proud of you." And he said, "I believe in you. I believe in your future, and I believe that you have what it takes to be a good husband and a good father one day. And I just want you to know that you're prepared, that you're ready to take on this life of adulthood, this life of being a man." And every son, every daughter wants to hear that voice from their father. And what I love about this picture is it really captures the moment because of the way my dad's looking at me. And I'm able to see that and see his eyes on me, but as well I'm able to remember and recall those words, those powerful words that he spoke into my life. Now you can take that picture down. But here's what I really draw from that experience, that I was a 22-year-old kid, just fresh turned 22. I had completed about a year and a half worth of community college at this point in my life. I had yet to hold down any kind of a 40-hour-a-week job. I'd only worked part-time. I was yet to be a husband. I was yet to be a father. I hadn't really accomplished anything except graduation, which I shared with, you know, 5 billion other people on the planet. I hadn't done much of anything. I was just a kid. And I look back at that, and I think of those words of my father saying, "I'm proud of you, and I love you, and you're ready for this, and you can do this." And his confidence in me, the confidence he placed in me, it was so life-giving. It just gave me such a sense of pride in my own self. And it was very formational in my identity. And what I love about that is he said that to me because he's my father and he loves me, right? And it wasn't as of yet what I had done. It was just who I was. And at the same time, he knew that he had equipped me. He knew that and believed in me. And he knew from experience what my heart was like. And it was such a powerful moment. And I believe that especially for those of us who maybe never had a moment like that or never had a father like that, or maybe your father's voice only went so far. I know my dad, he's still in my life, but he lives on the other side of the state. We don't see each other much. We don't talk to each other as much as probably we should. And there are times when I need a voice of my father in my life from week to week, from day to day. And one of the things that's so powerful about God revealing himself as our everlasting Father, as our Father Affirmer, is that he desires to do this in our hearts and lives each and every day. I want to take you to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18. It says, God speaking, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And this is God speaking to the nation of Israel, but Paul is saying, hey, look, we have fulfilled this calling as those who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. We have inherited this, that God is a father to us, that we are his sons and daughters, and all the benefits of what come out of that. And knowing, as we've set this up this morning and just talking about what a father is, knowing that we will go through seasons in our lives where we will doubt that we have what it takes. We will wonder if we have what it takes to accomplish what God has given for us to do. And we need to hear that voice. We need to hear the voice of our Father. We need to lean in and hear him say, I'm proud of you. I've called you to this. I know for me, I struggled to believe in God's unfailing love for me. I've made so many mistakes. I've fallen flat on my face. I've failed God in so many ways. I've failed even my own children in so many ways. And I wonder, God, how can I sustain? How can I keep moving forward? How can I come back at this and be all that I need to be? And God just reminds me of his unfailing love. He reminds me that you are my son. I've created you. Right? I mean, I love you no matter what. It's who I am. God is love. I hear the affirming voice of God all the time. I lean in. I want to listen. I want to hear it. I want to capture it out of the words in the scripture. And it's such a powerful thought that God is our everlasting Father. And so the only question is, will we open our ears? Will we lean in and hear his affirmation in our lives? As we close, I just want to speak especially to those of you who either you have lost your father or you didn't have the privilege that many of us have of just having a present father or a good and a loving father in your life. And what I want you to know, what I think that the essence of this entire message is, that no matter what your father was to you, you have an everlasting Father in heaven. No matter how limited, no matter how many mistakes or failings your father went through in his relationship with you, you have an infinite Father, an everlasting Father in your life who desires to provide you with protection, with his provision, and with his affirmation. And he wants to speak that over you in season and out of season. He wants to bring you life. He wants to pour out his love upon you. And I just want to invite you to come in and receive him in that way. In a moment, I'm going to invite our prayer partners to come forward. And I just want to say, man, if you have never known a relationship with God in that father-son or that father-daughter kind of way, I want to invite you to come and receive him afresh this morning as your heavenly Father, as your infinite Father, as the one who desires to protect and to provide and affirm you. I believe it'll be a powerful step in your relationship with God. And as well, I just want to pray for all of us this morning. Just pray over this theme, that God would be our Father, that he would speak to us, that he would powerfully work in and through our lives during this season especially. So let's pray. God, we thank you for sending Jesus into this world. And we thank you that you have paved a way through Jesus Christ towards a relationship with you, a relationship that we can understand in these human terms, that you have come to us as our Father. God, an intimate term, and yet a term in some ways that has been twisted. And God, we just ask, especially for those of us who carry wounds from an absent father or a father who died too young. And God, we pray especially, God, for those hearts that are broken. Those hearts, when they hear this term, they struggle to even interact with you as Father because they've lost so much and they are missing so much. God, I pray that they would have the faith to believe in an everlasting Father, a Father who has no limits, no restraints. He has no stipulations or conditions on his love. God, you love us unconditionally. You provide for us in every way in life. You protect us in the way that you see fit. God, you know our journey. You know our path. You prepare us for it. And God, you affirm us in those moments when we need confidence and we need the faith to believe that we are okay. So God, I pray that we would hear the voice of our Father above all other voices, that you would speak to us in the stillness, you would speak to us in the chaos and the confusion, that your voice would pierce all the other sounds, and we would know the voice of a Father who loves us dearly. We thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.